If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Good morning. You're listening to The Arts House on Cork's 96 FM and C103. It's Elmarie Maugh at the microphone with you until 10. Conor Tallon's also here in studio, ready to go.
We have to be raring to go. We are absolutely jam-packed with stuff this morning. Let's hit the ground running.
We really, really are. Later on in the morning, we're going to have Majella Cullough and Mary Hegarty live in the studio with us to chat about a gorgeous, gorgeous concert event. I have tickets to give away for a gig in the city centre tonight. Night on the show. We'll also be chatting to Linda Kenny and Alf McCarthy about a sensational gig show in the Everyman Theatre.
I spoke to Emer Riley, whose very first play, The Spin, put together between herself and Kirk Adurka, opens in the Triskel this week. So we look at the whole process of writing a play and getting it produced and putting it on tour. I talked to William Hammy Hammond about the Cork Folk Festival. And of course, we have Work of the Week.
Absolutely. And we also have a mini festival celebrating Cork's Pat Kinavan, starting in the Everyman Theatre tomorrow night and running for four nights with a different play every single night. It really is such a busy week.
Cork, a first.
It is. Very, very special. This has never happened in Cork before. Right. And it likely will never happen again. This is a really, really
unique,
special week. So we'll be chatting to Pat very, very soon about that. Don't forget we have those tickets to give away for that gig. I'll tell you all about it in a little while as well. And of course, you can always text or WhatsApp at any stage while we're on air. You're more than welcome to. The text and WhatsApp number, as always, is 0833 96 96 96. Well, that's the Universal kicking us off this morning. Now, I did tell you I'd have tickets to give away today, and myself and Connor bought tickets for the Brothers. We played them on the show last week, and the gig is on tonight in Winthrop Avenue. But look, lads, I guess I'm still waiting for a call for chemo, so it just doesn't make sense for me to be putting myself out there into a crowd. So I'm going to give the tickets away to someone of you this morning. And if you would like to go along and see the Brothers, now they are identical twins. They, I suppose, are originally maybe based in Brooklyn, I think it is. I don't know a whole pile about themselves personally, only the fact that they are this kind of like indie folk band, and I've enjoyed listening to their music. So if that kind of stuff appeals to you and you'd like to go tonight, I will gladly give my tickets away today. 0833 96 96 96. And your question simply will be this: what massive arts event took place nationwide on Friday night? So text me what happened on Friday night, your name and your address there, and I will get back to you this morning. We'll pick a winner before 10. Okay then, a fantastic mini festival is beginning tomorrow night in the Everman, running for 4 nights with one performer and 4 separate plays. This is just phenomenal. And again, if I wasn't in the position I'm in right now, I would be there every single night. The writer, the performer, and the incredible talent that is Pat Kinavan is going to be on stage, and 4 of his plays developed with Fishamble Theatre Company are being presented. So it was a joy, a pure joy, to have another excuse to pick up the phone and talk to Pat about this celebration of his work at the Everyman this week. Before we actually get talking about the mini festival that's essentially happening, Pat, in the Everyman, I'm going to start off, though, of course, because the most recent time I would have seen you was on screen with Graham Norton's Holding, which has just kicked off. I think it's 2 episodes in now. There you were, large as life, making a discovery that nobody was expecting in episode 1. You must have enjoyed the whole filming.
I had a great time, and it's lovely to talk to you, Elmarie, this morning. Yeah, I had a great time last year, to be honest with you. I wasn't expecting to be in Holding. I only have a small bit in it, but nonetheless very grateful because, as you know, it was a tough time for anybody working in the arts and when something like that comes along. And for it to be filmed down in West Cork,
I know,
was amazing. I was just so delighted because I love West Cork, and it was like a treat every time I went down. I was dying to go to work so that I could, even if I was hanging around, you know what I mean? In between days and stuff, I would just go off to Roscarbury, or I'd go down to Escape or out to Ballydehob and places like that. I just had a ball. But besides that, the script was brilliant fun, and Kathy Burke, the director of it, was a dream to work with. She was so, so lovely to us all. It was an amazing experience, and I'm just grateful for it, really grateful for it.
I know, like, West Cork is looking fantastic in it, and the cast is brilliant, and there's a great mix of Cork and Irish actors from all over doing their very best Cork accents, like. But, you know, anybody who has ever been even an extra in a film knows that even to just record a minute on screen can take, you know, the whole morning or 2 days, depending on the kind of shot. So were you down there for long?
Yeah. Well, I was down there all in all, I'd say, for about between the middle of August to the end of September.
Wow.
And so I was intermittently down there, but I was traveling up and down. All in all, I'd say about 10 days I was working on it. And to be honest with you, it was such a well-run machine, the whole thing. Everyone was really, really together on it. We all worked together as a crew and a cast. And everyone was really friendly and kind of really generous to each other. So it was a lovely experience from that point of view. And I think maybe that's why it ran so slickly. You know, it came from the top. Kathy made us all feel a part of a family, really.
Isn't that brilliant?
I think it kind of comes across in it too, that people, there's fun in it. You know what I mean? Great fun all the time.
Oh, there is. You can see that. But at the same time, and you alluded to it there just a couple of minutes ago, it would have been a different filming experience for a lot of people, even with prior experience, because of all the extra, I suppose, precautions and protocols that had to be observed. So making things difficult and slowing things down. And you then now, of course, with this mini festival at the Everyman Theatre, it's a one-man show, so I mean, it's the kind of thing you can travel with anywhere. But at the same time, we have spoken on and off different times, Pat, ahead of performances of individual elements, individual plays in this series. How does it feel to actually have the 4 of them in one? I mean, I don't recall you doing the 4 night after night after night like this in Cork before.
I've never done it in Cork before like that. In fact, this is only the second time ever that I'll have done the 4. In
wow.
a row.
Wow.
Number one. And Marie, like, it's just a privilege to have the 4 pieces. And Fishamble are an amazing theatre company, and they have allowed me to have them. They developed them with me, and Jim has directed them all, and they produce them all to the highest standard they can. They're amazing. So, like, I can't believe I have 4 of them. But I'm kind of approaching it as a kind of, I'm going to celebrate it next week.
Absolutely.
In a very humble way. I kind of feel we all got through this. We're out the other side. And as well as the work, health-wise as well, I don't take it for granted. I'm really good and strong and healthy. And I'm just going to celebrate that I can actually get through the 4 of them. And I'm going to look forward to every moment of them, because this might be a once-in-a-lifetime event for me. Do you know what I mean? I don't know when this will happen again. And you know, I love my home city, and I love my hometown of Cove, and I just want to give people the best shows I can, and the Everyman, which I adore the Everyman. They're amazing to me down there. So I'm the luckiest boy in the world, really. I really am.
You know what? You mentioned humility there, and I know that is like one of the threads that is so strong through you. And I appreciate and I recognise it, and I know you make efforts to keep your feet on the ground, because let's face it, Pat, wherever you have gone with any one of these plays, never mind the four of them, you have travelled all over the world with these plays. Like, yeah. just tell listeners now, for example, the kinds of places you have travelled to perform these. Where have you been invited?
Well, it's now 16 years since I started working on these solo pieces with Fishamba. So Elmarie, we started off in Ireland first, in tiny little venues. And then we kind of moved up a bit. And then we started to move. The first place we went to was to France. We went to Paris. And then after that, it kind of took off. We went around Europe, we went to Romania, Bulgaria, the Czech Republic, Turkey, then we went to France again, then we went to Germany. I'm just back from Germany, actually. We did a two-week tour over there. And then we kind of, people started to kind of pick up the shows in other parts of the world. So we ended up like in Finland, and then we ended up in the States. We did loads of cities all over, and including Los Angeles. We've been there six times to Los Angeles with the shows. And then Australia and New Zealand got involved. And so we have travelled so much, but always with a kind of, I suppose, get into a suitcase. Each one fits into its own suitcase. So when we're there, we kind of feel that we are, in some small way, kind of carrying a bit of Ireland with us. And we are, in that sense, Culture Ireland have been amazing to us, you know, helping us out and getting us the places.
Yes.
But we kind of feel a responsibility. Do you know what I mean? That we are Irish, and if we were musicians, we'd be the same. Or if we were visual artists, we'd be the same. We're representing really in our own tiny way what we can do of Irish culture and beauty of it.
Yes,
know?
And I know that. And I know it is infused with that. But, you know, also just to let listeners know, because you're obviously not going to be boasting about all of the 5-star reviews you've got from every theatre festival you've been part of, from Adelaide to the States, to Edinburgh, to everywhere, that's just kind of lauding heaps of praise on you for these individual four, never mind seeing four in a sequence. And the reason for it, and you talked about how each one can be packed into a suitcase, it's so handy to take around, but it's what you unpack in the performance, to carry on that metaphor, Pat.
Oh, that's a lovely thing to say, Elmarie.
It's what's, you know, well, that's what people connect with. Universally, isn't it? You know, because you, yes, it's quintessentially Irish, and you quintessentially have these stories which have their inspiration, some of them in things that have happened in Irish history or, you know, contemporary Irish history within living memory. But
yes.
It's the humanity, it's the deep, deep, deep connection between beings is what you're talking about. The dignity of the person. Love, loss.
I suppose, yeah. Isn't it a wonderful thing in a way, Elmarie, when we, in a cynical world sometimes, that we have to remind ourselves that the most important thing that we have at our disposal really is love and compassion. And even if you look across to Eastern Europe at the moment, our arms are open, like, looking after the beautiful Ukrainian people. And I'm not getting political here. All I'm saying is that what we surprise ourselves with all the time, and what I'm so proud to be Irish in that sense, because the Irish we're packed with it, is compassion. We're compact and endless love. And that's universal. You know, anywhere I go, people will, well, number one, they love us Irish when we go abroad. I mean, they're literally, you know, they're saying to me, would you please say that again? Would you just say anything in your Irish accent? So that's grand. But they love us for our compassion, and they love us for our heart. Like, we wear our hearts in our sleeves. Mm. We don't realise it. You know what I mean? We're very, very open and joyous and loving people. So I think that resounds when we go with the work. I think people are thankful for that. They kind of go, oh my God, these people are fearless, really, in their love. You know, I think we are.
And it's not only that, though. It's your performance and telling of these stories. And, like, you're such a, I'm going to say this, Pat, and I know you can't say it about yourself, but I can say it. You're such a beautiful performer to watch, you know, physicality, balletic, the choreography as much as the storytelling of your body. Every single metatarsal of your fingers is also involved in storytelling. Like, so you have to
You know what? No.
What?
Thank you very much, girl, because it's... I have the saying, and I know everybody else knows it too, but I say it every day. I say, Pat, just use it now or lose it, right? Because if you just keep that body going, just keep it moving, because there'll come a time when I won't be able to do those. And so that's my kind of mantra, really, is just keep going forward, you know? Mm. Keep, just because I'm getting older now, and I love it. But I love to feel the differences in how my body is performing, as opposed to 20 years ago, Elmarie. Do you know what I mean? It's I kind of celebrate the way that sort of evolution of movement happens. You can't stop it.
No, you can't.
At all, you know?
You can't. You can't. Yeah. Anyone who has ever seen you jump out onto the stage as Roy Keane in Aikino will know exactly what you're well able for.
That's a bat from the past. That's nearly 20 years ago. Do you know that?
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
But again... Genius. And great fun. But like these four plays, each of them tells, you know, just the most passionate story. And the photographs for each of them are all people have to go on if they haven't seen the plays before. So none of the plays are actually directly related, Pat.
I suppose, yeah, that's a really, really good point. I suppose the only thing that binds them together is that it is the one. Even though they're essentially solo pieces, you know what I mean by that. They're not solo pieces because there's so many people involved. There's composers involved, and there's directors, and there's costume designers and everything else. Brilliant people. But the only thing that holds them together is this embodiment of this one man, you know, who plays women sometimes in them as well. So it's this one human being really that is the connection between them all. But you can see them all individually, and they don't really relate to each other.
Yes.
But it's funny when people do come to see them, even three in a row, they form their own sort of thread.
Okay. Really,
for themselves. Their own meaning, really. That's something that I don't have any control over. But people are wonderful because they dive into their own imaginations then, and they kind of form their own sort of web, really.
You're doing a post-show talk with Bernie Cronin on the Tuesday night as well, after Silent. So, like, I just think evenings like that are so special, where you can sit back, especially in a bar like the Everyman, which is so intimate and so enveloping, to sit back with your audience and have a post-show chat afterwards. Do you get to do that much?
I do it as much as I can. Mm-hmm. And especially at home. I love doing it at home because I am very, very proud of Cork voices like that, particularly when it comes to, I have to say, when it comes to the issue of homelessness in Silent. And I will forever beat that drum. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That piece is 11 years old now, Elmarie. And when I wrote that piece, it was bad, like in Ireland. It was getting bad, and now it's doubly bad. So I'm looking forward to the post-show discussion on that in particular, so that we can lovingly highlight it again, and we can trash a few things out and kind of examine things and say kind of what's going on. Why are things this bad in a very wealthy country, you know?
And like, I haven't even really taken the time in this chat to kind of go individually through each play to say, and so what's that one about, and what's that one about, and what's that one about, because...
You're all right.
Number one, we've talked about these plays before. Number two, people can read a synopsis of each one of them on the Everyman Theatre website before they book their tickets. And number three, I think there's something also to be said in a kind of a mini festival like this to just buy into the experience and say, okay, this is a really special week. This is something that won't happen again for a long, long, long time, if it does.
Long time, yeah.
And to just take the journey, I think, is as a special and as a important a thing as any. Of course, we could open up the programme now and start reading out the descriptions, but that wouldn't be part of it at all. I think I just want to congratulate you on the success that you've had with each individual piece.
Oh, thank you.
Worldwide. Great. Worldwide. Let's just say that again. Worldwide, Pat, because I know you're a modest kind of guy and you don't go around blowing your trumpet. But like, this is just fantastic for a Cork actor, writer, performer like yourself to be celebrated like this. It's a wonderful thing in your own city. And I know you don't take it for granted for a second. And I really hope audiences...
I don't take it for granted. And, you know, it's a wonderful opportunity for me to be able to kind of give something back as well, Elmarie. Like, I still feel like a young fella. And I remember going up on the train from Cove years ago, like I was only 14, 15 years of age, going up to the Everyman and going up to the Opera House and going up, to, you know what I mean, to see different productions from all over the world. And it's just amazing to be able to go back and give something back, you know, because I'm sure there are young performers in Cork and young theatre makers and young artists that, you know, they'll come along to shows like this. And I hope that it gives people some sort of a hope, and I hope it gives them inspiration as well to go forward. We're in a new phase of all our lives, and it's about, it's either, you know, that or get off the pot. You know what I mean? Just go forward. Just enjoy your life. Live it. And I hope it gives people that kick and enthusiasm to go forward with love, you know?
Well, Silent, Before, Underneath and Forgotten are all taking place in the Everyman this week, one night after each other, with all of the details on the Everyman Theatre website for booking, or if you want to pick and choose in case you can't make all four. But listen, Pat, it's always just a pleasure and an honour and an excitement, actually, to talk to you. And I wish you the very best of luck.
Thank you so much, Elmarie. I so appreciate your time and your lovely words, and for pushing the shows out for me to the audiences in Cork. I can't wait to come home, and I can't wait to see my ma down in Cove as well.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks so much, girls. God bless.
The incredible Pat Kinavan there. I see a text in from Frick who said, "Hi, Elmarie. Pat was indeed brilliant as Roy Keane or Kino in iKino. I saw it twice. Can you watch it anywhere now?" You know what? I don't actually know. Is there a recording of that? That was just a superb production. And like, he was brilliant in Holding as well a couple of weeks ago. And it's starting tomorrow night in the Everyman. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night. It's going to be incredible. These four plays, one after the other. Follow them by Crash Ensemble on Friday night, followed by Dear Joe Kane on Saturday night. It's a huge week at the Everyman. Well worth checking out the website and having a look and seeing what's coming up. Okay, quick break. News on the way.
Cork's 96FM and C103. The Arts House with Griffin's Potatoes. Planted, picked and produced in Cork. Griffin's Potatoes. The great taste of home.
Oh, listen, jazz banjo, you just can't get beat it, can you? That's Alison Brown there, a track recorded especially for the World FLA a few years ago. Love that. And if you enjoy good music, well, like I said, I'm waiting for chemo, so I can't be going out to a gig. Connor and myself have tickets for the Brother Brothers tonight in Winthrop Avenue. And if you'd like to win those tickets, because I'm just going to give them away this morning, then text or WhatsApp to 0833 96 96 96 and tell me what was the name of the big, massive arts event that took place all over the country on Friday night. What was it called? Tell me your name and address, and we'll put you in the draw before 10.
Now, established in 2011, the Theatre Development Centre in the Triskel in Cork has done amazing things for new playwrights. And this is a story of somebody who wrote a script in 2018 and just wanted to see where it would go if they sent it off to, say, Pat Kiernan and Cork Cadurca. And this is her story. This is the story of Emma Riley, who wrote The Spin. And she's going to tell us the story of that voyage from 2018 up to the current day when the show, The Spin, is on tour and it's on its way to the Triskel. Emer, I've been told that you've gone on quite a bit of a journey telling a story about a girl called Joanna Jennings, 27 years of age, which your first play called The Spin, and that in itself has taken its own journey, and it's already out on the road and it's heading towards Cork. So Emer, I'm asking you the impossible to kind of summarise what has probably been something that's taken up a lot of your time of late. How did the journey begin?
I wrote The Spin the summer of 2018.
Yeah.
I wrote it over a couple of days and I kind of sat with it for a couple of months, and I looked up Kirk Cadurca's website, sent an email to Pat Kiernan with the script.
Yeah.
Fortunately, he emailed me back the next day and invited me into the Civic House Trust, and that's kind of where it all started.
Brilliant. A very fast reply altogether. So there must have been something in there, that caught his eye.
And I mean, I'm sure it was a diamond in the rough. You know, we've done a lot of work on it since.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of time over the last couple of years going down to the TDC and we did workshops with actors. And as a first-time writer, that's how you really learn, is hearing the words in people's mouths.
Yeah.
Total education working with Pat. You know, he's got such vast experience and a lot of experience with new writers as well. So the whole redrafting process.
Did you get a lot of feedback from the actors themselves as well?
Yeah, like if a line didn't sound right, an actor would tell you, or they'd ask you a question. They're generally very generous people, actors. They don't say, that's wrong, but they'll say, why am I saying this? Or why am I saying that? So, yeah, the story has remained the same. It's still the same story that I wrote 4 years ago, but it's been tightened and tweaked. It now runs at a very short 50 minutes.
Okay. But that's it. As you say, it was a rough diamond and it had to be shone up a little bit. From what I gather, it takes one hell of a spin, the tale itself. Briefly, what was the story you were telling?
So it begins in a letting agency. This woman is trying to find a place to live and she can't. She's dealing with the breakup of her relationship with her boyfriend and she's forced to kind of stay with her brother and sister-in-law for a while. And she's sitting opposite this woman who, it might not be immediately clear who she is, but she's kind of like a therapeutic witness, I suppose, to Joanna.
Yeah.
They're trying to tease out why her life has been in such a mess or a free fall. You know, we kind of have to excavate her past and her difficult kind of family history.
All right.
In order for her to, you know, move on or create a better future for herself, she has to deal with the past. Emotionally coming to terms with what happened, she's kind of a fractured sense of identity as a character.
Yes.
And it's her realizing who she is.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, there's a bit of a twist in it, so I find it hard sometimes.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I didn't want you to give anything away either because people want to come along. So people are intrigued from the beginning as to where we're going with this.
Yeah.
Did you learn how to not give stuff away?
Well, that was probably a thing when we were doing the redrafting process, is the feed of information and, you know, kind of the craft of playwriting. Is
the art of storytelling,
Yeah, for sure.
How to keep an audience interested, how to keep them on their, you know, on the edge of their seats.
Yeah. And it's the thing is you kind of lose all perspective as a writer because, you know, when you're with a piece for so long, you don't see it as clearly as somebody who's just seeing it for the first time.
Yeah.
So it's reassuring now when audiences are like, oh, I didn't know what was going to happen next.
Now, that brings me to the next part of it. The bird has flown, has left the nest. Been in Longford for a week in the Backstage Theatre.
Yes.
And currently now you're running in Dublin.
Yes, Dublin Fringe Festival.
Yeah.
So we're running in the Cube in Project Arts Centre. So it's a great space. Similar to the TDC, the great black box.
Now, you must have found it very hard when you had to let it go.
That is actually something that I was so surprised at because obviously it's my first play and realising on opening night that there's nothing more that you can do. It's out there now. It's the audience's. It's not yours anymore. Yeah, that's a real learning curve.
You pass the baby over to the audience and what do they think of it?
They seem to really like it.
Yeah.
Lots of people with questions wanting to kind of think about it for a couple of days and chat to me afterwards. A couple of my friends that saw it, they're like, let that percolate with me.
Okay.
So yeah, it's thrilled how people have received it.
Did you touch a few nerves? Did people identify with it?
I think it's a little bit on the bone for some people.
Yeah.
When I think of the story, I do think it is that kind of in your 20s when you're kind of grappling around with things.
Yeah.
Although it's a personal story of Joanna Jennings, there's lots of universal themes in it that affect lots of people.
Of all ages.
Of all ages, yeah, for sure. And it's great to see at Fringe, you know, there's a variety of ages, young and old and everything in between.
Yeah.
People come to the show.
Well, somebody who has a lot of experience reviewing plays is Donald Clark from the Irish Times, and I assume he gave it a thumbs up. In fact, I think he gave it four thumbs up.
we're thrilled to get the review. He seemed to...
Congratulations.
Connected and engaged. So that's all you can offer.
Okay. Listen, it's coming to Cork. It's coming to the Triskel. What nights will you be there?
We will be there from the 27th of September at 8 p.m. We'll run nightly through to Saturday, the 1st of October.
Eimear Riley, this is your first one. Will there be a second one?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I've things percolating. It takes a while to get a play up.
It does indeed, and it's an amazing process. I'm glad you started it. I'm glad you got a vote of confidence all the way through from the beginning right through to right now. And I want Cork audiences to come along and give it their vote of confidence as well. So it sounds to me like it's well worth supporting. Well, indeed, I was looking at the Irish Times review from Donald Clark, and he gave it his vote of confidence, 4 stars, under the heading... intense two-hander balances social comedy with emotional heft. So that says it all. It was a hit on the Dublin Fringe Festival. It's coming to Cork on Tuesday night and running right through till October the 1st in the Triskel. Go along and see it. It packs a punch. Now, while I have your ears, the Drima League Singing Festival has a full day of gigs and concerts starting at 11 o'clock this morning in the Corner Gallery on Main Street with Maura Ní Chéilleachar. Their songs of the Gaelic Harpers at 1 o'clock, spoken word and song as part of the famine commemoration at 2:30. Pauline Scanlon at Top of the Rock at 3:30, and Jack O'Rourke closes the festival tonight at the All Saints Church at 7:30.
Great to see your texts coming in. I have one for you from the artist Claire McLaughlin. Remember, she spells her name like the county. And she says, good morning, Elmer and Connor. Great to hear you both. Please let your visually impaired audience know that tactile packs are being sent out to online participants in the Seen Unseen gallery visits. And the next one is going to be to the, it's just disappeared, the Solstice Arts Centre in Navan on Friday, October 21st. It's going to be in person if you would like to go, but also if you can't travel, it will be online. Everybody is welcome. Participation and tactile packs for the visually impaired are free of charge, and to register to get one sent to you ahead of October 21st, so plenty of time to do it, all you have to do is send an email to the artist Claire McLaughlin, and her email is claire@seenunseen.ie. So all the details, of course, will be also on her website, clairemclaughlin.org.
Now, I'm waving massively at Elmarie, knowing I'm breaking all the rules as we're fighting the clock this morning, but I'd love to get this out. Thank you, Mary Buckley. You just sent in an email congratulating Norma Sheehan. She was amazing as Shirley Valentine last night. And she deserves the congratulations for a show of her most outstanding performance. She sold out the Opera House, got a standing ovation for the whole Opera House. They were literally standing on their feet, clapping at the end of the show. She was fantastic and outstanding and deserves every ounce of applause that she got. Well done, Norma.
Bravo,
well done,
bravo.
Well
okay,
done.
We'll be back after these.
The Arts House on Cork's 96 FM and C103.
Friday night was culture night, so I met Michael Waldron, curator of the Crawford Art Gallery, outside the Crawford.
Michael, is there nothing you can't do? I mean, you're a curator. That's how we know each other. You move the Aunt Pizza oven from time to time.
Look, I was just deputised. Yeah, so Volcano Pizzas have set up shop in our garden this evening for Culture Night.
Yeah, yeah.
So we all mucked in just to give a helping hand.
Well, it's funny, we're actually standing outside what was the main entrance of the Customs House.
So in 1724, so if you can imagine, 298 years ago... Standing outside this door, it would be the main entrance into the Custom House of Cork. Behind us would be water, staring up at the clock way up above us.
That's a funny thing, because I just met a couple of Americans who were looking forlornly across the gateway, wondering, was it open or was it closed? Trying to figure out where the entrance was. So I was telling them, it's just around the corner. So they're inside at the moment, which is what we should be doing. They're going upstairs to the Men in the South exhibition, which is where we're heading as well. So we might bump into them on the way, because I've already told them that this place used to be surrounded by water. This was the Venice of the South. So we go in the main entrance. But in a couple of years' time, this will be the main entrance again, won't it?
I think that's all being planned now. I suppose in our major redevelopment, it will be all about the visitor experience and finding your way to the entrance.
Okay, so find our way in. So for tonight, and it'll be all over by the time this goes to air, the restaurant doors are open. People can come in, sit down and enjoy themselves for Culture Night.
Exactly.
And break into a pizza. Meanwhile, the Gibson Galleries?
The Gibson Galleries on our first floor.
Okay. I'll follow you. I think you know your way around here. We were going to meet near the synagogue, and there's a reference there. But because this is Culture Night, you're on call all day here from 2 right through to 11 o'clock tonight. So, fair dues to you. Some man for one man.
Well, it's some team for one team, but it's a big group effort, and we know our responsibility to be open on Culture Night, and we know people have an appetite for culture, and we're here for that.
Tell me, why would we have met otherwise outside a synagogue?
This week's work of the week has a connection to synagogues.
Okay.
And more particularly, the artist Estella Solomons was Jewish, and her parents co-founded a synagogue in Dublin.
Let's have a look at her. So, you are the tourists that I met outside.
That's correct.
What part of the world have you come from?
New Hampshire and Florida.
This is Michael.
Hello.
Mike's one of the curators here. We meet every week to talk about a work of art in the gallery, and we put it out on the radio. And I'm glad I was able to direct you towards the gallery, because it looked like we thought it was closed.
It did look like that. We weren't sure how to get in, but we knew it was a good place to come.
Yeah, okay. So we're going to just have a quick chat about one of the paintings. Did you recognize anything here? Was anything familiar?
Not until we had actually started our tours yesterday. We did a tour of History of Ireland in Dublin.
Well, we're following the history at the moment of the foundation of the state.
Ireland as a republic has been in existence for just 100 years, and this exhibition looks back to that time period. And in particular, today we're on the radio and we're having a look at a small work by Estella Solomons.
We'll have a look at Estella's piece just behind. In fact, we met in front of this about 2.5 years ago. This is the Men in the South. It's actually an iconic painting. These men, believe it or not, turned up at the artist's studios in Dublin dressed like that so that they could pose. And he then made it look like they were freedom fighters fighting for the independence of the country. And at the time, nobody knew which way things were going to be. Wasn't that right?
No, we were right between the War of Independence and the Civil War in Ireland, a very short period of time when it was very uncertain how things would turn out.
I'm glad you've come over to Ireland to find out more.
We are, and we arrived here on a very good day, too, the cultural day. And it's interesting, there haven't been big celebrations this year, so this is a remarkable exhibit for us to see.
We're going to explore it a little bit deeper.
Thank you.
Lovely meeting you.
Enjoy your visit.
So here's Estella. This is a self-portrait. There's something unusual about the timing of it because it's dated 5 years after her death, isn't that right?
Yes. This etching was part of a memorial edition marking 5 years since the artist's death. So the edition was released in 1973, but the artist had died in 1968.
Ah.
So it was a portfolio of prints from that edition.
Okay. Yeah. Now, who was she? Why was she associated with these gentlemen from the South? Did she have a connection?
Well, she's a very interesting woman. So Estella Solomons was born in Dublin to Jewish parents. Her father, I think, was an eye doctor, and her brother Bertel was a sportsman. Mm. Estella, during this War of Independence period, joined Cumann na mBan. So she was politically quite active, part of that socialist activism of the period 100 years ago. And in the 1920s, she married Seamus O'Sullivan, who was poet and editor of the Dublin magazine. She became an honorary member of the Royal Hibernian Academy at the end of her life, but she had actually been exhibiting every year for decades. So she was quite a remarkable artist, a beautiful printmaker. We have the portfolio of prints here. She's also being celebrated in an exhibition in Dublin at the moment too.
She looks a little bit sad, doesn't she?
Maybe just lost in her thoughts.
Yeah, I think she's quite wistful.
She has a book on her lap.
Seated in this sort of doorway looking out into a garden, the interior is a little bit dark. Seated with the book on her lap, she's resting her chin on her right hand. She's meditating.
Maybe she's thinking about pizza.
I mean, she could be hungry.
No, I'd say it's bigger thoughts. Much bigger thoughts.
Because she was so politically engaged, I mean, we have to think practically, a self-portrait like this, you kind of have to hold a pose while you're making your portrait, right?
Yeah.
This book might actually be in the sketchbook where she was making the lines of her own likeness.
Yes.
Yeah. Think about her life more broadly. Because she was tuned into the time and what was going on, of course, it was a time of great consequence. It's quite interesting as well that she came from a fairly kind of comfortable background, but in an Ireland that was becoming a lot more inward-looking, maybe not as multi-denominational as it had been previous to them.
Okay.
So a conservatism might have been coming into being at around the same time as, you know, this Jewish woman in Dublin. I think of, you know, James Joyce's Ulysses when I think of
course,
that experience of the capital city.
but as a sort of person on the fringes of society, yes. even though she was comfortably off.
In a way, the outsider looking in, looking out as we look in. At her and looking out at us. Yeah.
And an artist is a perfect person for that too. Yeah. So she, as a woman, as an artist, as a Jewish woman in Ireland, at a time of independence, a member of Cumann na mBan, all of these layers to that particular expression.
Intriguing times, weren't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of appropriate as Jewish people around the world prepare to welcome their new year in Rosh Hashanah. She's our little herald of that this week.
Thank you.
Yeah, Michael replied by email when I sent him that audio and he said, unreal, love the added Americans too. By the way, he says, thanks, Connor. It was a wild night, over 3,400 visitors. By the way, today is the last day to see Men of the South exhibition in the Crawford, and Botanica also finishes today.
Absolutely fantastic. Now, the Nias Mo, the Shaska Mila Baile Farin, Shin Townlands in Aaron, at the Fos Grilar Hail Natir Salatan Yavon, Agasar Tiji Kahar, Erin Deirdrin Shakoing, Beg Shila Nichonainig, a kind fui Gachion, Igunde Herkui, Martha Bail Alia Ahangoirig, Sitte Sleta, Erhuren, Hunde Herkui, Agas Hunde Kiri, Agasashir Hion, Dena Priya Valte, Ingoil Tachtvu Screen. Bale Eisho, a will go vale farin aun, siad drum an arig, agus an chil vor. Fekin Sheila na balig spregula, dagan an public heila, agus fein si leergas ar hevris besielta kiol, agus auroniacht an chiantar, a todol o nart go nart le gach ein gluin sa sin, a tos nu ar a hochtach log ar an deirdín sio chuing. Now, and well, the first day, nu the clown clinne, a frastel er gael skull igorkig, nu bader gwil to feina the voin tori gaundis na gael skull in a untra, a ta timpla hunde nu an char. Well, but wa lumsa, clushant uit, ma ta cor alling i the skull, nu bader gwil daltion, will sarva the raw. Daunta numar shin, shans gwevenish tacht an radio lam be a kind fi. Sa Seomra Fórna, agus seolagi riav fost chuim an Siav Idrilín an Stáisiún Radio. Just inis thom, cada bheach ar intendagot idir ceolags caint agus bimé ar aiscúd. So inis, sin smuínav nua don tacht an daiv. Look, here in the wine, the girls are going to be ach, time contest new, let's be my car air out rhyme, agastanta, three railge, okay? So, shinne, so, on reafos shinna, elmarie.ma at 96fm.ie, agast time is soul le, the smointy go, raid. Here in the studio, Connor's after correcting my Irish, so he is. He said instead of saying Elmarie.ma, I should be
Elmarie Punk Ma.
Elmarie Punk Ma. And you know what? I actually kind of like that. I hope you've been enjoying the music there of Donal Lunny, just as we are chasing the top to the news.
The folk festival starts on Thursday, and we're talking to William. Yes, Hammy Hammond, in the second half of the show about what's actually happening if you went on a bit of a trail.
Don't forget.
What would happen?
We have loads more to come. Fantastic guests and music coming up for you between 9 and 10. And we're also giving away tickets. Connor's and my set of tickets, as it happens, to the Brother Brothers in Winthrop Avenue tonight. We can't go because I'm still waiting for chemo, so it's just not sensible. So
come on,
we're going to give
warm the seats for us, okay? Keep them warm. Come on in.
If you'd like to take our tickets and head along tonight to see the Brother Brothers, then all you have to do is text or WhatsApp 0833 96 96 96 and tell me what major arts event took place all over the country on Friday night. I will put you in the draw there before 10. Okay. All right.
96FM and C103. The Arts House with Griffin's Potatoes. Planted, picked and produced in Cork. Griffin's Potatoes, the great taste of home.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.